Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur Podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Friday, the 6th of September, 2019. I am Steve. Still no Colin, unfortunately, but I've spoken to him. We are very much pals. His boy is doing extremely well. He's just represented Northern Ireland under 19s, where he got a brace, he got a couple of goals. So well done to him. And Cole has promised me that he will be back on the show at some point. He cannot be definitive on when he wants to come on or when he's able to, but he will definitely be on. Look, I want to get straight into this story about Lo Celso. He played for Argentina and he got injured. Horrific tackle by a Chile player. But look, what is he doing playing for Argentina when he's come to Spurs and the first thing they say is, okay, you know, he's not going to play the first game. That's fine. Absolutely no problem. Halfway through, I don't know if it was the second week or the third week, Poch comes out and said, look, he's not ready or he's far from ready. I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? You know, this is a professional footballer who should be ready, not at all times, but certainly by the start of August. I've got no problem whatsoever with a professional footballer, you know, doing what he does through the season, and then at the end of the season, going out, doing whatever you need to do. I think it was Ryan Mason, I heard an interview saying they've got about a 3 week or 4 week period when the season finishes to just blow it all. You know, go have as many burgers and beers and wine and whatever else you want. You go for it. You go on holiday and you really do it. And fair play to you. Of course you should. You know, you need to have that time to relax and eat what you want and do whatever you want. However, come the start of July, you know, or even before that, if you want to be, you know, uber professional, you think to yourself, right, before I go back to my club, I need to get myself fit. You know, I think guys like Harry Kane, you know, you just see his physique when he was training, you know, thought to himself, right, I need to add a couple of kids and you know, maybe put on a couple of pounds or whatever. And he thought to himself, right, now I want to be, you know, fit as a fiddle. We've signed this Lo Celso guy and we're talking about him like he's Hazard. You know, they said, didn't we see Hazard in a couple of friendlies? He's put like a stone on or whatever. And to be not ready, I mean, what exactly does that mean? Is Pochettino talking in riddles again? Is he saying, you know, he's not ready because he's not ready to be in the team? Is it a case of I wanted him earlier and Levy wouldn't do the deal? Or like a lot of people have said today on Twitter to me, saying that no, he's not fit enough. Well, sorry, but that's ridiculous. That's no excuse. Look, Poch has said he's not ready. And we know kind of what that means, don't we? Because Poch demands a certain level of fitness. But even so, Lo Celso has been wanting to come to Spurs, if you read all the reports, for what, 2-3 months? As soon as the season finished, really. So he must have known that there was a chance that he'd be coming to Tottenham. So, I mean, you know, what did he do? Did he go on holiday? Did he, you know, put his feet up? I just don't understand how a professional footballer paid so much money, you know, at the peak of his career, early 20s, comes to Tottenham and he's not ready. Now, I understand, like, he's not, you know, match ready or what we used to call... what do we call that? I can't remember. Game match fit. That was it. We used to call him match fit. It takes you, yeah, okay, two or three games, maybe six or seven, but totally not ready is just beyond me. And the point I'm making here is the fact that why is he now playing for Argentina? Why is he allowed, why have Spurs allowed him to then go to Argentina? Now, the one thing I might think is they say, okay, go and play for Argentina, get yourself match fit or for fitness or whatever. But for goodness sake, playing against Chile, I mean, they've not exactly got the, you know, soft boys of world football. You know, you're not playing like a Japan or a China who are, you know, or a Sweden who are going to be kind of relaxed and, you know, just play football. Chile are bloody hard. So it's like, why? Yeah. Go and play against Chile. Not a problem. Of course it's going to be tough. Of course it's going to be hard. And we've allowed our player who's not ready physically, he's not ready mentally, he's not integrated into England yet, and all these things. But we've said, yeah, off you go. Go and play for Argentina. And look what's happened. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, that, this was going to happen. But even if it hadn't happened, and the only reason I know, by the way, that he got injured and that he played was because I read the report. Even before the game, if I'd have known he was playing, and I said, well, wait there, what's going on? How comes all the other teams, all the other top teams, say to their players, you're not going. You need to get fit. You need to get sorted here. There are enough players who aren't on international duty to stay at Tottenham and get to know the team, get to know the club, and get to know Hotspur way, and train with the trainers, so that when we play Crystal Palace on the Thursday or the Friday press conference, and someone says, "How's Lo Celso? Is he settled in there? Is he ready yet? Because you said he's not ready." And Poch says, yep, he's absolutely ready. He's been training for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and he is absolutely ready. Now, what he's got to say is, oh no, well, what happened was he wasn't ready and for whatever reason. And we sent him away, but we still sent him away to Argentina to play. And now what's happened is he's got injured. And, you know, he's trying to play it down, saying it's not quite, as bad as it looked. But my goodness, you know, regardless of that, the fact that whether the injury is good or bad, what is he doing playing for Argentina when he can't even get in the Spurs side, you know, and we're saying that he's not ready yet? It just is bizarre to me. Just moving on to talk about the games. We played, obviously, away at Arsenal. The best thing I can think of, because it was a week ago, so if I just go through the team and sort of say how they got on. Lloris made some decent saves. I didn't think Arsenal had any real clear-cut chances per se, but they played well, Arsenal, you got to say. It was the best there probably for quite a while. And, they seem to always raise their game against us. They're kind of the new West Ham, aren't they? You know, I can't see Arsenal raising their game against, you know, other teams, even West Ham maybe. But they certainly raise it against us at home. And, their defence, those defenders who have been all over the place for two or three years, you know, they all put in a solid shift, didn't they? And, it's like David Luiz. If only it was, he was terrible in the last game. And therefore, he obviously had to buck his ideas up. If only we'd have played him in a couple of games' time when David Luiz had sort of, you know, got lackadaisical again, then maybe we could have taken advantage. But you knew from that, I don't know if you saw it, the first sort of challenge, he was right into Kane, you know, and he was excellent against him, as he can be. David Luiz, over the years, you know, he's played against Kane several times. Sometimes he looks awful, sometimes he looks absolutely fantastic and has Kane in his pocket. So he was all right. Lloris. What I was going to say was Arsenal had a few chances, but not really, you know, ones that were fantastic chances. I think Lloris made a brilliant save, was it against Xhaka, when he tipped it over the bar. But apart from that, nothing major. Right back, Sanchez, you know, in hindsight, not the right choice. Should have put Alderweireld out there. Aurier's on the bench. You know, it is a wonder why we have players on the bench. They're obviously fit enough to be on the bench, but not fit enough to be on the pitch. Yeah, is a bit of a wonder, that one. You know, as a manager of a team, myself, a kids' team, you know, for players, even as the slightest, you know, I'm not feeling very well, or I've got a bit of a thing, you know, you just go, okay, mate, you know, you're not playing today, not a problem, get yourself better and you'll be fine. You know, in Premier League, you don't put a player on the bench if they're not you know, ready to come on. Dyer, obviously, he's even left out of the Champions League squad. So that is a major issue, I think. A lot of people don't like Dyer, but I think he's got a lot, you know, he's had a bit of a year and a half, I suppose, where he hasn't really been on the scene and hasn't played well. But we know what he can do. And I just think he's a man mountain who I think is... I'd love to see him come back and be fantastic for us. And I think he can fill in at right back. We've got Walker Peters, who is injured. So, mate, you know, get yourself fit. Play well, and the position's yours. You know, that's the message to him. But Sanchez played awful. Didn't look right. So there you go. Alderweireld played pretty well. Vertonghen was okay, but you know, all the, you know, we said, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, I said everyone's saying that if Vertonghen was in the side, we wouldn't have conceded those goals. Well, Lacazette's goal, we just, you know, made a mug of him, didn't we? He mugged him off and scored. Great skill by Lacazette. I'm not sure that any other defender would have tackled him, but you know, let me be one of those guys who says, oh, if someone else was in there, they'd have tackled him. So there you go. If Sanchez was in the middle, he probably would have tackled him. You know, that's how easy it is to say, and I'm you know, that's why I'm being sarcastic when I say that. And then you've got left back Danny Rose. You know, I'm trying to think why he doesn't clear that ball. Is it because the ball hit him on the hand? Now we haven't seen replays, have we? No one's really shown any replays. Did the ball hit his arm? And then he thought to himself, right, I can't just kick this out of play because they'll look at VAR and they'll give it. So I'll try and, you know, kick it up play and keep the ball in play so that maybe the clock ticks on and it gets to half time and they don't look back on it. You know, I don't know if he's thinking that. In any other circumstance, you know, he's booting it up the pitch. I don't know what he's trying to do there, but he's giving it straight to them and, you know, they go and score the goal. So not directly his fault, but he's the one that gave it away. Very frustrating. Didn't play particularly well. And I, you know, what do you do with him? You know, we know he's a temperamental character, but look, you know, Ben Davies is sitting on the bench. We know he's solid. We know he's no problem. He's not as good a player as Danny Rose on his day, but maybe put Ben Davies in for the next game and, you know, give him a little run and just say, you know, well, actually, game's coming up. It's going to be thick and fast, isn't it? But I'm not sure what to do on that one. But Ben Davies definitely needs to play. You know, he signed his contract, loyal to Tottenham. Good lad. Into midfield, you've got Sissoko. Now, look, he blazes the ball over the bar every time he has a shot. Or what was it? Was it Man City or the first? No, it was Villa, wasn't it? Where he had a shot, 6 yards out, and he hit the corner flag. The guy needs to have a serious think about what he needs to do for the team. He's doing everything right, apart from that shot. Okay, so he needs to just go. And this is the exact opposite of what I'm going to say about Winks. What Sissoko needs to do is just think to himself, I am going to do everything for this team. I'm going to tackle. I'm going to get stuck in. I'm going to pass. Play long passes if you want. They'll go out of play, it's not a problem, okay? Do everything for the team, Sissoko, but do not shoot, okay? That's absolutely, do not shoot. Now, if you want to pass it into the back of the net, not a problem, okay? So that very last chance he had, he'd already had two or three where he blazed over the bar. Just have a little think to yourself. If I put my laces through this, where's it going to go? Well, I'll tell you where it's going to go, up in the stands. So either side foot it in towards the goal or just lay it off or turn back. But do not put your laces through it and have a shot. That's what I'd say to Sissoko, and I hope he's listening. I'm sure he is. Winks played really, really well. And like I said last week, fantastic. Gets the ball, lays it off, plays fantastic. Really comfortable player. This is the sort of game where Winks is really, really good. This is where you need him, away from home, top six side. Okay. Where you don't need Winks, like I said last week with the Newcastle game, is where he's playing those sideways, backways passes when we need a goal. All right. And, you know, he still didn't really have a shot. But that's fine because that's not what he's there for. So these sort of games, perfect. And he played really, really well. Moving into the four positions, you've got Lamela, who, you know, I'm still thinking that he's going to play a major part. You know, I think it was last season, was it about eight games in? I know he scored, did he score one or two away at Wolves? Played really, really well, and then he got injured straight away. And we're all expecting it, aren't we? We're all expecting any minute now, Lamela's going to go down, and that's the end of that. He's not playing great, but you can see potential, you know, and I'm being really hopeful here. But potential of a little bit of magic at some point. And, you know, he doesn't make our first 11. He doesn't make any of our first 11s, without a doubt. But, you know, I think he's probably 50-50 fans thinking, come on, you've got something. You can do this. You can turn this around. You can make yourself, a Spurs legend, a Spurs hero, at least for this season. If you keep yourself fit, I'm sure he's got some goals in him and certainly some assists. He wasn't great against Arsenal, but, you know, I like him, and especially because away fans absolutely hate him. So I think we should, you know, he was pretty good, but I just think, is it a possibility that he could demand the ball a little bit more? You know, give it to me. Obviously, the transfer window's all finished. Look, he wanted away. He wanted to go to Real Madrid, you know. But speak to any footballer at any club. Where would you like to play your football? And every single one of them would say Real Madrid or Barcelona. And to be fair to him, I think he does deserve to go to Real Madrid. I think he's good enough. I might have said that maybe he's not good enough, but really, I think he is. I think he does deserve to go there. But they didn't want him. They bought Hazard. They bought a few others. And they said, not at this time. We don't need you. So he's got to bide his time. Possibly play a little bit better for Tottenham. Pick him for the next game, definitely. Get him in the side. Get him playing. He can't go anywhere now, so you know, just get yourself concentrated. And he's a brilliant player, isn't he? He's a class footballer, great to watch. Sonny, I thought, was our best player. Really looked terrific, exciting to watch, fantastic on the ball, really dangerous. And I know that Arsenal fans, I've heard a lot of their podcasts, so you don't have to. They were really scared of him. And I thought it was ridiculous bringing him off. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. And to bring him off, the only player I'd have put on for him is Moura. I don't know why he didn't go on. That is bizarre, why Moura wouldn't go on. That was ridiculous to me. I've said ridiculous a lot. Sorry about that. Verbal tick. And I know I say you know a lot, but you know, that's another verbal tick. Just ignore it. Kane played better. I like him when he drops deep because I think he can ping a pass. I want him up top. When he hit the post, you know, it's those fine margins. And it didn't even hit the post and come out squarely, did it? It hit the inside of the post. So, you know, this is a matter of millimetres and it would have gone in. So absolutely gutted about that. But he did put his penalty away brilliantly and he played a bit better. You know, we want to see Kane back to himself. He doesn't look right to me. He doesn't look right. I don't know what it is. Has he lost a half a yard of pace? Has he thought to himself, you know, I don't feel right. I don't feel as good as I did 2 years ago. Are his ankles a problem? Is he thinking, my goodness, you know, these hurt. I know that Gary Lineker, I know it was towards the end of his career, but he had a massive toe problem to the point where Lineker can't even play friendlies because, you know, or he can't even play, you know, with his kids because his toe is, he can't literally kick the ball. So is Kane thinking, you know, I really need to look after myself, which is great, but it's hard when you watch him without that extra yard of pace that he used to have. So I'm desperate for Kane above anybody else to have a fantastic season, half because of the slack he takes from other fans. You know, you see these guys who support other teams. And you think to yourself, well, you know, you might hate players like Dele Alli or, you know, back in the day we used to despise John Terry, didn't we? Because they're horrible individuals, racist, you know, awful backgrounds, nasty individuals. When they spoke on camera, you know, just nothing about them that was nice. Harry Kane is a lovely, lovely guy. You know, any team would love him in their side. So it is bizarre to me how they attack him for his personality, for the type of bloke he is. Now, the dive. At the end of the game, Aubameyang one last year, the guy's going to the touchline. Sanchez gets too close to him. He puts one arm on him and leans in, and he goes down. Penalty given. This one, I'm just wondering. And there's another spin on VAR. Whether the referee looks at it. And he goes, I'm not giving that because I think VAR will overturn it and undermine me. So I'm just trying to think of other ways, other things that people are thinking of. I'm thinking he's looking at and going, you know what? He's put his body in between the defender there. He's got two hands on him. I need to give a penalty. However, I think I'll give the penalty. And I this is all, you know, speculation and subconscious and everything. But I seriously think he had a bit of a dive there. Obviously, he's had a bit of a dive, which every forward does. Every single forward has a bit of a dive. And by the way, every midfielder and every defender does as well. As soon as they get touched, they go down. So how this, it's only Kane that does it thing is absolutely ridiculous. There's that word again. So Kane goes down, and I think the referees thought, I'd give this if VAR wasn't in, but I think VAR is going to overturn it and make me look a fool. So that's why I think he didn't give the penalty. VAR, they're looking at it going, well, we can't undermine the referee. So they're all looking at each other going, well, we can't give that, we won't give that. Now, the actual penalty probably isn't a penalty. With, you know, in terms of contact, and he's been, you know, two hands on him, but two hands you shouldn't go down. I'll tell you what, though, over the last 20, 25 years without VAR, that is a penalty all day long. Two hands on the back, player goes down, it's a free kick anywhere else on the pitch, and it's a penalty without a shadow of a doubt. I'm trying to think of a time where a guy has put two hands on the players, on the attacker's back, and he's gone down and the penalty's not been given. No, it's been given every single time. And now what we've got is referees going, well, I can't give that because that'll undermine myself. Well, whereas what they should do is go, okay, blow the whistle, pen, and just go to his earpiece, make it clear as you like. Do the VAR sign. You know, say it really clearly. Can you have a look at that, please? I'm not sure if it's a penalty. Because VAR is there to help the referees. VAR should be where the referees go, can you help me? Voice it. I even think you could do a sign. Just two thumbs up or whatever the sign is. I need VAR on this one. You know, so it will get sorted out in the MVAR, but it's to help referees, not to undermine them, not to say, you got this one wrong or you got this one right. It's for referees on the pitch to go, okay, guys, can you help me out with that one? I didn't quite see it. Guys, he put two hands on him. I know Kane made a meal of it, but... what do you reckon? You know, would that, is it a penalty? And then make the decision from there. So there you go. Players that came on, Dele Alli looked rubbish, which is a real shame because I wanted him to come on. I thought he'd turn the game a little bit, but he didn't look very good. But we know what quality Dele Alli's got, so I really want him to be fit for the next game. And I want him to make an impact. Desperate for him too. And then Lo Celso came on. This whole not ready business just grinds my bones. It really does. And you've got to see what I'm saying with that one. I've just, gone back to school. I'm not ready. Of course I'm not. 6 weeks off. How can I be ready? But I'm not saying to the kids and the head teacher, listen, I'm not quite ready yet. I've kind of, not really up to speed with the new regulations on this and the other. Tell you what, I'll spend the next couple of weeks just, going through the motions. And then two or three, when we're into October or whatever, then I'll start properly teaching. No, sorry, I'm a teacher. I know what I've got to do. I know I need to be ready. And that's what the Chelsea needs to be. Ready. Ready for the transfer. Ready for August. Ready for the start of the season. All this not ready business is bizarre to me. I don't get it. Okay, Crystal Palace coming up. Not easy. We desperately, desperately need the win. Being a Spurs fan, I can see us drawing it. I can see us losing it. I can't see us losing it by more than a goal, but I can see us having, let's say, 25 attempts. They have under 10. I think that's a given. There's no way that we're coming away from that game, in my opinion, 15 chances each. No, I think we'll have way more chances than they do. But the score, I'd love a 1-0 win. 2-0 would be beautiful. But you never know. And the thing with Spurs is that when we desperately, desperately need that result, we don't often get it. We might get it the week after or the week after that, but we do need this win. Crystal Palace are, who knows, they've got I don't think Townsend's played very much. Got him in my fantasy team and he seems to be picking up 1 point. I think he's on the bench most of the time. But you never know with them. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're awful. Hopefully they'll come to ours and be awful. And we can get the points. That would be great. Listen, people moan about the fans at the home ground. It's up to the kids to sort it out. When I was a kid, I'm talking about kid-wise, between the age of 20 and 30, I went there, I cheered, I sang. I'm older than that now. I'll sing, of course I will. But I'm not beyond the goal. It's up to the guys beyond the goal. Have a bit of a sing-song. Have a laugh. I'm not sure why they're not singing. But I tell you this much. Even though I say I sang, not every game. And at White Hart Lane, the atmosphere wasn't amazing. It wasn't amazing for years, in fact. It got pretty good when Martin Yole took over. It was excellent when Redknapp was there. And then I think we sustained it from there, really. We were good, the fans. But I tell you what, for about 15 years prior to that, I started going in 91. Atmosphere was not good. It was not good for a good few years. It was pretty quiet. So, but we don't want to go, you know, we shouldn't be like that. The atmosphere should be fantastic. So it's up to the fans to sort that out. The players, obviously, we respond to what they do. But if we're 1-0 down, we should be singing. Right. Okay. Sorry to drone on. If you don't like the pod, not a problem. Don't listen. If you do like the pod, no problem. Have a listen. It's just a bloke talking about Spurs for half an hour. That's all it is. Nothing more, nothing less. All right. Cheers. Come on, you Spurs.